To conclude our observance of National Poetry Month, we have readings of poems from two wars. We start with the Crimean War, which began in March 1854, when the British, allied with the French and the Turks, declared war on the Russian Empire. The Russians had invaded the Crimean Peninsula in an attempt to extend their reach through the Black Sea to the Mediterranean. One episode from the war was immortalized by the British poet, Alfred Lord Tennyson, in The Charge of the Light Brigade. Linda Hughes, a professor of English at Texas Christian University, is the author of The Many-Faced Glass, Tennyson's dramatic monologues. She also writes an annual review of Tennyson scholarship for the journal Victorian Poetry. Professor Hughes reads for us The Charge of the Light Brigade.
Half a league, half a league, half a league onward, all in the valley of death, rode the 600. "Forward, the Light Brigade! Charge for the guns!" he said. Into the valley of death rode the 600. "Forward, the Light Brigade!" Was there a man dismayed? Not though the soldier knew someone had blundered. Theirs not to make reply, theirs not to reason why, theirs but to do and die. Into the valley of death rode the 600. Cannon to right of them, cannon to left of them, cannon in front of them volleyed and thundered. Stormed at with shot and shell, boldly they rode, and well, into the jaws of death, into the mouth of hell, rode the 600. Flashed all their sabres bare, flashed as they turned in air, sabring the gunners there, charging an army, while all the world wondered. Plunged in the battery smoke, right through the line they broke. Cossack and Russian reeled from the sabre stroke, shattered and sundered. Then they rode back, but not the 600. Cannon to right of them, cannon to left of them, cannon behind them volleyed and thundered. Stormed at with shot and shell, while horse and hero fell, they that had fought so well came through the jaws of death, back from the mouth of hell, all that was left of them, left of 600. When can their glory fade? Oh, the wild charge they made! All the world wondered. Honor the charge they made, honor the Light Brigade, noble 600.
The Charge of the Light Brigade took place on October 25, 1854. The Russians had launched a surprise attack against British forces in a valley at the port of Balaclava. The British commander, Lord Raglan, sent a message instructing the light cavalry to counter Russian troops who'd captured a British post on the heights of the valley's right side. Professor Hughes says confusion over Lord Raglan's intentions meant that British forces charged from the mouth of the valley toward its end, surrounded by Russian forces.
They were following the wrong orders, in part because of a hasty and rather arrogant messenger who didn't stop to clarify, and who, ironically, was the first Twain killed in the charge. Thus they set off with a group of about 600 to 700 horsemen riding from that narrow mouth to the end of the valley, and it meant literally on three sides they were surrounded by cannon, to the left, to the right, and straight ahead, just as Tennyson's poem talks about. The leader, Lord Cardigan, managed to keep discipline, but they kept having to say, narrow your ranks, because literally people were being shot out of it by those cannon on three sides of them, so that when Lord Cardigan got to the front line, there were perhaps only 50 men immediately with him to start attacking the Russian guns at the far end of the valley.
Of 637 cavalrymen who charged into the valley, an estimated 247 were killed or wounded. The Charge of the Light Brigade was an inspiration for British soldiers, and in August 1855, Tennyson had 1,000 copies of his poem printed for them. Britain, France, and Turkey went on to defeat the Russians. 60 years later, the horrors of World War I were depicted in many poems, a dark and sarcastic perspective on the Great War and war in general can be found in the poetry of the classical scholar A. E. Housman. Historian Neil Ferguson is the author of The Pity of War, explaining World War I. He reads Houseman's poem, The Grenadier.
The Queen she sent to look for me. The sergeant, he did say, "Young man, a soldier will you be, for 13 pence a day." For 13 pence a day did I take off the things I wore, and I have marched to where I lie, and I shall march no more. My mouth is dry, my shirt is wet, my blood runs all away. So now I shall not die in debt for 13 pence a day. Tomorrow after new young men the sergeant he must see, for things will all be over then between the Queen and me. And I shall have to bait my price, for in the grave, they say, is neither knowledge nor device, nor 13 pence a day.
A.E. Houseman's The Grenadier was published in 1922 in a collection called Last Poems. Also contained in that book is one of Houseman's most famous poems about World War I, Epitaph on an Army of Mercenaries. Once again, Neil Ferguson reads.
These, in the day when heaven was falling, the hour when earth's foundations fled, followed their mercenary calling, and took their wages, and are dead. Their shoulders held the sky suspended, they stood, and earth's foundations stay. What God abandoned, these defended, and saved the sum of things for pay.
A.E. Houseman's Epitaph on an Army of Mercenaries. Houseman followed the war from Trinity College, Cambridge, where he taught Latin. Poet Wilfred Owen saw World War I as a lieutenant in the British Army. After suffering shell shock, Owen was admitted to the Craig Lockhart War Hospital in Edinburgh, where he cultivated his literary talent. Owen returned to the front and was killed in action in France 1 week before the armistice which ended World War I. The title and the final lines of his poem, Dulce et Decorum Est, came from one of the odes of the Roman writer Horace. The Latin words translate as, "It's sweet and honorable to die for one's country." Again, Neil Ferguson reads.
Bent double, like old beggars under sacks, knock-kneed, coughing like hags, we cursed through sludge, till on the haunting flares we turned our backs, and towards our distant rest began to trudge. Men marched asleep. Many had lost their boots, but limped on, bloodshod. All went lame, all blind, drunk with fatigue, deaf even to the hoots of gas shells dropping softly behind. Gas, gas, quick, boys! An ecstasy of fumbling, fitting the clumsy helmets just in time. But someone still was yelling out and stumbling and floundering like a man in fire or lime. Dim through the misty panes and thick green light, as under a green sea, I saw him drowning. In all my dreams before my helpless sight, he plunges at me, guttering, choking, drowning. If in some smothering dreams you too could pace behind the wagon that we flung him in, and watch the white eyes writhing in his face, his hanging face, like a devil's, sick of sin. If you could hear at every jolt the blood come gargling from the froth-corrupted lungs, bitter as the cud of vile incurable sores on innocent tongues, my friend, you would not tell with such high zest to children ardent for some desperate glory the old lie. Dulce et decorum est pro patria mori.
Like Owen, the Canadian physician and poet John McCrae served in World War I. McCrae composed a small body of work, leaving behind only 31 poems. Just two of them were about the war, but he achieved international fame with In Flanders Fields, written during the Second Battle of Ypres in 1915. Also, like Wilfred Owen, McCrae did not live to see the end of the war. He died of pneumonia in France in January of 1918. Neil Ferguson.
In Flanders fields the poppies blow between the crosses, row on row, that mark our place. And in the sky the larks, still bravely singing, fly, scarce heard amid the guns below. We are the dead. Short days ago we lived, felt dawn, saw sunset glow, loved and were loved. And now we lie in Flanders fields. Take up our quarrel with the foe. To you from failing hands we throw the torch. Be yours to hold it high. If ye break faith with us who die, we shall not sleep, though poppies grow in Flanders fields.
Neil Ferguson, reading In Flanders Fields by John McCrae. Ferguson is the author of Empire, The Rise and Demise of the British World Order and the Lessons for Global Power. To listen to all the war poems we aired during April, please go to our website, npr.org.